Hello, welcome to your meditation practice as part of the Open Heart Project. My name is Susan Piver. I'm very happy to sit with you. We're going to sit together today for 10 minutes. We're going to start soon. So please get settled, whether you're on a cushion, on the floor, with your legs crossed loosely in front of you, or in a chair. Either way is fine. And also, Happy New Year. It's great to start the year by practicing together. I also would like to say that I had hip replacements surgery on December 18th, and that's how I got my knee propped up on a pillow like this. I think it went well. They said it went well, but anyway. So before we sit, I want to share with you what in the Buddhist view is considered the three paths to liberation from suffering. You're on one of them right now. I promise you that. And one of the reasons I want to describe these three ways is because they influence the way we look at our practice. And I'll explain that in a moment. So the first path to liberation, which, and they all include meditation, of course, is called the monastic path, where you turn your back on the things of this life and you live in some kind of spiritual community and you devote everything to your prayer, your practice, your study, your journey. And that's a good one. I'm not doing that one. You're probably not doing that one either. The second path is called the path of the forest yogi or wandering mendicant, people that walk around with begging bowls or sit in a cave for like 3 years until they attain liberation. Also involves turning your back on the things of conventional life, to just throw yourself onto the waves of whatever is beyond conventional thought and conventional ways, to wake up. It's like I'm putting all my chips on red. It's all or nothing. Just like the monastic path, however, there are no bills, there's no families, there's no homes, there's no pets. You turn your back on the things of everyday life to focus exclusively on waking up. Now, the third path, I'm not doing that one, by the way. I don't think you are either. Although you have may have moments where you experience the flavor of it, certainly. The third path is called the path of the householder, which is the opposite of the first two in the sense that we do not turn our back on the things of this life in order to deepen our realization. Rather, we turn toward the things of our life as part of our practice. So we bring everything in, our home, our possessions, our relationships, our work, our yard, our clothes, everything becomes part of the practice. Now, in the tradition that I was trained in, the Vajrayana Buddhist tradition, the esoteric school of Buddhist thought, the householder path is not considered a layman's path. It's considered a full path on its own that can support you to the deepest realization imaginable. Now, it's a little more complex than the first two in some ways because you have to bring everything to it, your clothes, your work, your yard, all the things I said. So I wanted to speak about this as we begin a new year because it gives a fresh way of looking at your environment, I would say. And P.S., often the view that we bring to spiritual practice is actually rooted in the monastic tradition. That is, can be severe, beautifully severe in some cases, pared down, simple, demanding, and uncompromising, which are good things if you live in a monastery and someone's giving you food and a place to live and so on. But when we apply the view that's associated with monastic teachings and monastic teachers to our practice as householders, we can become severe and critical and even shaming around our practice. So we want to take a more fluid, creative, playful, interesting, I would say, approach to our practice, with the suggestion that you can be very creative in the way you do your practice because it's your practice. You don't want to make stuff up because the great teachings are already there. But how you apply them, you can bring your own creativity to that. So again, as we start a new year, this is a good way to take a fresh start, I would say. And as householders, presumably we are, you could start with your actual house or your room. Does it support your ease? Does it support your ability to practice? Does it support your sense of self-respect? So everybody's got different things in terms of time and money, and I'm not saying you need to live in a perfect place, but you could start by just, instead of saying, I want my spiritual practice to make me, I don't know what, different than I am, you could say, I want the way I treat my homes and my home and the objects in it as part of my spiritual practice. So I'm going to take care of them. I'm going to put them in order. I'm going to not have messes as best I can. And I'm going to create the environment that honors my practice and my life. Just a thought. So let's practice. In our meditation, there are three things to be mindful of, and the first is the body. So the practice begins with the way you take your seat, and you want to sit up straight, but with a sense of sort of joyfulness rather than, I better get this rightness. Like joy in yourself, in being alive, in having a body, in being able to hear and practice the Dharma, whatever the Dharma is to you. Those are reasons to celebrate. The hands rest on the legs, palms down. Let the front body soften. Let the shoulders relax. Breath is natural in and out through the nose. You're already breathing, so just keep doing that. There's no special breathing instruction. The eyes are open and the gaze is cast down to a comfortable spot in front. Let the eyes be soft. Let the brow relax. The second thing to be mindful of is your breath. And what that means is to let your attention rest on the wave of breath, which is not gripping the breath, not observing the breath. We're not noticing it, we're feeling it. So just feel the body breathe in and out, and let your attention be carried by this wave of breath. Breathing in and out. The third thing to be mindful of is your mind, which continues to make thoughts, and that is not a problem. I hope you believe me. Your eyes continue to see things, not a problem. Your ears continue to hear things, not a problem. Your mind continues to think things because that's just what it does. Not a problem. Just let your thoughts come and go. Let your mind be exactly as it is while your primary attention is on the breath. Feeling the body breathe. So you notice that you have become absorbed in a line of thought. And a line of thought is different than a thought. A thought is like, whoop, whoop, gone. A line of thought is, oh, I spaced out. I'm thinking about lunch. I'm thinking about this thing I said 12 years ago. I'm thinking about, I forgot about my breath. That's the tell right there. Forgot about my breath. Okay. You just remembered. So congratulations. So when you space out, notice that. You can label that moment thinking. Let go. Whatever the thought is, doesn't matter right now. And bring your attention gently back to the breath and begin again. So we'll sit together in silence for a few more minutes until you hear the bell. Thank you so much for your practice. It's very important. Thank you for practicing with me. Thank you for practicing together. And I wish you the happiest of happy New Year's. See you next week.